Welcome back to part two of the graduate program homework, week five and final week for January. So we'll get started. So the first one, hi Helen, sorry I've not written in a while. I've been doing January's homework daily, but there's been no, excuse me, no motivation to report for a while. But the other day you had said something that finally struck home a few days later. You said, paraphrasing, the piece of thought and a piece of no thoughts are the same, and you are that. So it makes no difference to your essence if thoughts are there or not. You are still experiencing the same thing, yourself as the noumenon. So to be not in argument with life is the same as not being in argument with having thoughts, any kind of thought. The noumenon loves all thoughts because the noumenon is all thoughts, or there is no real thing called a thought. There is only the one being appearing as that. So even when my thoughts are volatile, as the noumenon, I'm still looking at and interacting with myself. When there is no resistance to ego, I can now feel that the intuitive unconditional love rise up, that intuitive unconditional love rise up to meet all thoughts. It still rises up to embrace itself, especially egoic thoughts. And it is so relieving and healing. The wholeness and perfection was always there, even as these thoughts. Thank you again for your wonderful teachings. So it's a wonderful place to really be, isn't it? Where we come to see that there is nothing, as we've been speaking about in part one, I'd really urge you to watch part one as well, if you haven't already. Because we talked a lot about unconditional love and acceptance of ego. And again, that's what we're going to be focusing on this month. That really was the key for me to see there isn't any any emotion or anything I can't accept or love within myself or others, because it is my own creation. It is me. It's arising out of me. It's a shape I'm taking. You know, the world may call it hate or fear or grief or bliss or joy, but it is really something I've created. And I can love each one of my creations, even if I don't like them. And it doesn't have to be the same thing, does it? You know, just like you can love someone, but also not be proud of their behavior, so to speak, in any particular moment. So all of these are echoes. We've created these and we have to love them, accept them unconditionally, let them back in for them to be able to change and transmute. Everything is always on a journey to a higher manifestation, including these thoughts. If we love these thoughts, they have to change to a higher frequency, more loving, more accepting. And that's what's happening now. These unconditionally loving thoughts you're starting to have about yourself, and the deepening and gathering momentum is evidence of the love that you've been giving yourself, that we all deserve and are already worthy of this unconditional love and acceptance of the self. And we literally are never going to get ego to be able to see that, and it's fine. And we can step right now into this moment of loving ourselves unconditionally. The wholeness and the perfection that comes from that. There's nothing I need to be scared of out there or in here anymore, because I can love it no matter what it is. If it's a very low frequency, very narcissistic, self-centered, hateful of others, even that I can love, because it is just what happens when a frequency is suppressed. The frequency of a thought or an emotion or experience or a manifestation. When it's rejected and suppressed, it cannot continue upwards. All self-hatred, hatred of others, etc., anything that we thought was unlovable, is on a journey to enlightenment. It wants to come back into peace, and it naturally will do that, but it needs a body, a human body, and the permission of the one living in the body, experiencing through the body, to exist as it is right now. And that's the only option the self has. So it's not surprising to me that you're having this breakthrough, But it's also wonderful at the same time. And I really encourage you to begin to continue to welcome this and see there's nothing. The noumenon isn't in argument with anything because it's all its creation. It's like, creating something and then trying to discard it because it didn't turn out how you wanted. You don't have to try to discard it. You just carry on with a different creation. And the self doesn't have the capability to say good or bad. Good or bad really comes down to wanted or not wanted, doesn't it? This thing called bliss is good. This thing called fear is bad. This thing called love is good. This thing called hate is bad. It's only bad because we don't want it. And we only don't want it because it feels very, very low when we experience it. But it only feels low because we are pushing it away. Unconditionally loving and accepting field that is you. Nothing can survive that's a very low frequency and that for very long without transmuting. It's like when you hold something down underwater. The force that you have to exert to hold it down is tremendous, isn't it? Or is it just naturally pops up to the surface? Every emotion is everything we've ever thought about, every self-judgment, every unworthiness, every guilt and shame and all of that is just asking for us to stop holding it down, pushing it away. When we do that, there's a tremendous healing. And when you figure out how to do this with yourself, you can do it with everybody because everybody is living their beliefs all the time. No choice. Wonderful, wonderful. Keep going with this, and it fits perfectly in line with what we're going to do in February. So I'm excited about that. Next one. Hi, Helen. I contemplated the cause and effect deeply the other day. I could see that there was no cause and effect. I had a wonderful shift and seeing. I'm so excited. I could clearly see that every thought, feeling, and experience happen in me, not to me. And that if I'm everything and everywhere, how can I not accept anything if I am everything? This helped me so much with what we've talked about in the session last week. I can now look at the trauma I have been struggling with and heal it. This is massive for me. It's the key to freedom. And I can continue to apply it to everything. I realize this is what you've been teaching all along, but it takes time for me to see it. If I am everything, I can allow anything. This is going to be my mantra. Looking forward to going deeper with this. Much love and gratitude. Wonderful, wonderful. And perfect timing, of course, always, because the deepest things that we thought were the most unlovable, that we really didn't want to feel, that we really didn't think we could feel, can only be handled from this unconditional love and seeing. So we don't have to find the courage to love something that seems unlovable. It automatically comes when we see that it is my creation. It's all me. I'm taking all these shapes from the highest to the lowest, everything in between. And the fear of feeling these things begins to dissipate. You know, this unconscious stuff in the ego that we know we're going to have to look at eventually is just stuff we've created and we've labeled it as bad and not wanted. So because of that, we push it away. Because of that, it feels terrible. Hate doesn't feel terrible. Guilt doesn't feel terrible on its own. Fear doesn't feel terrible on its own. Trauma even. The worst pain a human being can experience doesn't feel terrible if we're not pushing against it. It's totally possible to feel all that in this field of unconditionally loving, peace, acceptance, and total, utter love. That is the definition of love. I won't reject anything or anyone because it is me and there is nothing for me to be afraid of. I'll begin to really see that as I open up and unconditionally accept what is. And it's really just because we've been trying to do this from ego's perspective. Nothing wrong with that, but ego can only really go with duality, not supposed to be able to see non-duality. It works in good and bad, wanted, not wanted. And really those are just from how much we've pushed against what is. Isn't it wonderful to open up and allow everything you've ever created to come back into that wholeness? All the energy you're using to push against what is suddenly is available back to you again when you're not pushing against. Suddenly there's a sense of clarity, well-being, wholeness, happiness, joy, the depth of love and wisdom that is profound because we're not leaking energy desperately, pushing against all this stuff that really has never really had the capacity to hurt us. We only thought it did. And when you learn to love yourself, you naturally fall in love with everyone else and everything else because it is all you. And it's fundamental when you see that, isn't it? It changes everything. There's nothing that I cannot look at and love. And that is what the self would say if it had a mouth to speak, wouldn't it? It would say, all of this is me. All of this is made out of love. All of this can be loved and transmuted back into love. It's fundamental and very exciting and perfect mantra. I find everything, I can allow anything. And it doesn't matter how long it takes us to see this, does it? We're all working through. We see what's untrue about ourselves first. And then naturally out of habit, we switch to seeing that from the ego. We look at ego from ego. And we reject and reject and reject. We push away. And we reject the egos of others too and the effects of those reflections. When you finally switch to the self, which is timeless, it doesn't matter how long this took. It makes no difference to the self whether it took a minute, in the very first incarnation you had, or 100,000 million lifetimes. It's just now. It's happening now, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. And there's a theme running throughout this homework this week, which is just so good. I love it. So you'll really enjoy February's stuff. Great. So two more to go. Dear Helen, thank you so much for the feedback regarding the advice for work. I will do the exercise proposed. This evening, as I walked back home, I was contemplating the number 6 excerpt from the self. The power of the self is equally power everywhere. I think you're talking about the document we put on the graduate program with the advanced contemplation. So the power is, there isn't any more powerful or less powerful beings. The same power is present everywhere. We're just using that power to delude ourselves for a while. And I was enjoying very much the walk. There was this contentment and effortless walking, especially the quietness of the streets and avenues. Here there are restrictions because of COVID. It was very profound and with powerful moments as I reached home. Now I see and believe that I'm beginning to discover what you've said to me. In quotes, your awakening is here right now and deepens every moment, even if there are no aha moments. Yeah, that's very, very true. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm very grateful. Also very happy for telling me how to deal with work presentations. You were right again. Ask and it will be given unto you. It has happened so. I had no clue as to what to put in the presentation for my boss. The right information came at the right time, effortlessly. I am in awe. Thank you, Helen, for awakening us. Much love and light. Thank you. Glad that that's happening. So just to comment on that before the second piece you've sent in. So if you can see that... it's happening whether you're having aha moments or not. There's a great relaxation in that, isn't there? That the self is the only thing that exists. And when it wants to see itself, there can be nothing that gets in the way of that. How it happens for each one of us is very, very different. And some of us, there are no big flashy moments, as we said, but it is happening. It's a question of whether we want to acknowledge that and see that. We can delude ourselves even here. It's not happening because... you know, so it's good that you're seeing that. The rest of this says, Dear Helen, I have the following question. If this body that appears to be me and we know it's not me, why or how to explain other beings, relatives that care for me about the challenges that appear this body is going through? Like, for instance, in less than 11 weeks, the body underwent two surgeries, cancer related. Then yesterday, while riding the bike, enjoying the afternoon and listening to the lesson from Satsang Intensive, January 17th, forget, unforget all. All of a sudden, I am hit by a car from the back. The body flew some meters away and then hit the ground. After going to the ER for x-rays, there were no fractures, thanks God. So, you know, I just want to say, well, let me finish reading before. Most people will say, poor guy is having these troubles. I personally don't feel anything about it is attached to me. It's a strange sensation that if I try to describe it, the best way I can do it is saying, it's just not me. Thank you in advance for your insight, Ms. Helen, my beloved guru. Thank you very much forever. P.S. Just for question clarification, what do I respond to people that care for me? A dear friend was giving me her advice. Please do not ride the bike, nor go to work. Stay at home. Do not go out to the supermarket. Order everything online, etc. So we can go through these things. I'm very happy that the body's safe. Let me just start by saying that. And you can see through what's happened to you that you are very, very safe. Even with these things happening to you, you are safe, aren't you? Aren't you proving that and experiencing that? Even in these situations where it could be very, very different, you are safe. And that knowingness is building deeper, deeper inside. And as we, you know, move around in the world, to kind of answer your question, we can notice that other beings don't have access to that insight as yet, that capacity to understand as yet. A really good friend of mine was driving their car and was hit from behind, and the car, they were doing about 35 miles an hour, and it was in the speed limit at the time, and the car got shunted by the impact into this concrete post, and the car actually ended up, the front of the car ended up in a U-shape where it literally wrapped around this concrete post. And this person got out of the car and walked away and knew that that was evidence of their safety. I mean, they were grateful, obviously, but if we look at how most people would look at that, and since they could acknowledge, that it was evidence of their safety, they haven't had to go through something like that again. That even this dis-ease, even this accident, which there aren't any really, it can be evidence of how unsafe I am, or evidence of just how safe I am, that even this can happen to me, to my body. And, you know, and we can't expect others to understand that, can we? And it's okay not to try to convince them. They're probably not going to understand that you could walk away from something like that feeling safe. Just as probably you couldn't have understood that a while ago. You know, it's just not possible. None of us in the graduate program or in satsang in general could get to that point at first. And, you know, sometimes myself, I find myself saying what they would expect me to say. You know, oh my gosh, that's lucky. I was so lucky. It could have been so different. You know, because to tell them what's really true for me is going to be so far out of what they can understand and appreciate, and it's only going to upset them and disturb them, you know. So sometimes it's easier to just say, yeah, maybe I will order online, and, you know, to temporarily agree with them, just as an act of love for them, that they can't put what you've been through in the same context, and it's okay that they think this is that you're unsafe because they think they're unsafe and they don't understand the nature of reality, that kind of thing. So I hope that helps to answer the question. Sometimes even when someone that I loved left their body, and you know, one time we were at the funeral for another being, I found myself crying as if I was grieving, which I wasn't. But everyone else around me was, and it wasn't like I was faking the tears. It was a genuine response for the fact that all the other beings around me were in pain. It was a really compassionate response as the self. Everyone else assumed I was grieving and I was crying because I was grieving. And that was fine. I didn't have any urge to tell them otherwise. And so, you know, quite often a response that's socially appropriate will come as the self, which is the kindest thing to do for those beings. You know, if someone were in satsang like you, you could tell them, couldn't you? Or as if you feel it's appropriate, that it's possible to go through even this and realize I'm safe. But more often than not, it's best not to disturb them if they're not able to see this just yet. So I hope that helps. Whatever comes out will be appropriate. And really, you can't really say the wrong thing anyway. If you say something that is so far out of their purview, what they're able to comprehend, it will be quite quickly forgotten by their ego anyway. It doesn't fit with their belief that they're unsafe and that you're unsafe. So, and you might even see that happen. You say something and the kind of egoic shutters come down. There's some kind of not recognizing. That's a bit weird what you just said. And then the subject just moves on. You know, it's moved on by them because they can't really handle what's been said. Okay. Last but not least. Hi, Helen. Although I know the homework related to causality this week, I had become increasingly focused on my awareness following your answer to last week's question. And that's fine. It's go with whatever you feel a pull to. It really landed with me about your bowl of water demo and going on from this to the expand out my awareness inside and outside at the same time. This feels like the practice for me. And since this is the base camp I've been looking for all these years, so simple. I can also use the listening to silence, and really the issue comes down to remembering to stay open and not get distracted. I sense the peace is not far away, but I don't want to seek this out as this was my problem before, and getting thoughts of disappointment and unworthiness when it didn't arrive. So much gratitude for your help here. So if you feel a pull to it, then go for it. That is exactly what you should be focusing on, whatever you feel is alive for you in this moment. For me, the glass in the bowl of water, that it really helped me to see that I would feel that I'm only here inside the glass, inside the body. And then outside seems outside, other than me, doesn't it? But the awareness, the noumenon, the silence, doesn't have an inside or outside. That's only in thoughts, isn't it, where it's where it's irrelevant there, inside and outside, me and other. And this division is created artificially by the presence of the body. It looks like I'm looking through this body only, and it always will while this body's here, and it's fine. But you can recognize silence or stillness, the awareness doesn't have those limitations. Something that's not a thing cannot be limited by inside and outside, can it? And what you said here, it is the practice for me, and since this is the base camp I've been looking for all these years, it's very, very true. It's very, the simplest of practice is the most profound. And it's really a love of awareness, isn't it? Love of the self. What really is that? What is it? Where is it? Where am I? And what happens when I don't limit myself to definitions of inside and outside, me and other, me and the rest of the world? Because can you have those definitions when the body's gone? Absolutely not. Doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means they're only true in the relative world. And without that, there isn't any There's no reference point. And that's scary for mind. Like, I don't know where I am right now. Or I can say I'm everywhere all the time. I can't be absent from anywhere. I don't have a location. You don't have a location. It's the same self talking as sent in this homework, isn't it? Different bodies, but the same one being. Even the bodies, even the glass, even the bodies are made of this awareness. And in the ball of water demo, the perfect glass really would be made of ice, which is just water slowed down in vibration to look solid. His body is just awareness slowed down in vibration to feel solid. So where is your inside and outside then when there isn't any reference point? It's very exciting. If you feel this is your thing to focus on, then absolutely go for it. And I'm really excited to hear what comes out of it. It's going to be amazing. And when you really realize you've no inside or outside, and that those concepts just do not apply to you, then it's impossible not to fall in love with everything, because everything is you, seen deeply. And it'll just be coming clearer and clearer every time we look at it. Don't expect any big moments of epiphanies. They may come, but it's just a side effect. Just wanting to see is so exciting, the simplicity of it. Please, please let me know how you get on with this. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so that brings our homework to a completion for this week. I will see you on Saturday if you can make the live session. And we've already got a good head start on February's work. There's a lot of loving going on, unconditional love going on of ego from the homework. So exciting stuff. Beautiful. Thank you. Namaste.